Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, Father, for just ministering your love to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here and you are ministering just truth to our hearts, and you show us your heart towards us. Thank you that we're blessed to be a blessing. And as we find out who we are in you, Lord, we just walk more and more like you in this earth, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love us unconditionally. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your grace on our lives. We just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So yeah, it's really an awesome privilege to share the word with you tonight. And really, really exciting. I really got excited as I prepared for this message, and I think it's Holy Spirit inspired. So I pray it'll bless you. But I've titled the message kind of what is God for? And that's what I've been kind of pondering this week, because it seems like a lot of Christianity today is more about like what God is against. So we hear a lot of like stuff on telly, on TV. Sorry, that was UK slang. But there's a lot of talk about like what God is against. You know, you hear like God is against homosexuality, God is against smoking, against drugs, all that stuff. But so I really thought I'm not going to talk about sin tonight. I thought it's a pretty dry and boring subject. But it's more exciting to talk about what God is actually for. So I thought, if Christians define their faith by the things that they don't do, you know, they say things like, well, I'm a pretty good person. I don't do drugs. I don't do this. I don't sleep around. All that kind of stuff. And it's not really what we see in Jesus' life. So we don't, like Jesus didn't, when we read about what he was up to, he didn't walk around and say, oh, sister, can you believe it? Like, I don't smoke. Yeah, can you believe it? Like, that wasn't his message. Like, he didn't talk about the things that he didn't do. So I don't want to make my life about the things that I don't do, but rather focus on the things that we do see in Jesus' life. And that's, what was he always busy with? He was always busy with like either teaching or healing people. He was always just ministering, loving on people. So that's really what we see, like that's God's heart. That's what we should be doing as well. And we don't see a lot of, like Jesus' life isn't famous for the things that he didn't do. So he was against the attitude of the Pharisees, but that's kind of another story. But he all his life, you just see he's for like a specific thing. And I mean, ultimately, it's that he was for us. That's why he came. That's his heart for us. So that's it seems like over the past few centuries, it seems like the church has been more, the message has always been like, you have to repent, you have to get rid of that sin in your life. But for a lot of people, it seems like that Christianity is either way too hard to live out, or it's too boring. So they say, well, I'd rather have like fun in the world. and I was, to be honest, I was at that place. Like, I thought, oh, let me wait till I'm like 70 or like old, like till it's time to like kick the bucket anyway. But it's like you might as well start living for God when you're old, because then you can still collect some like brownie points on the way in. But when we see the life of the apostles, I mean, that's not their attitude. They were just like living an adventurous life with God. So that's what I want to experience, and I believe that's all our heart. I mean, we're the fanatics, we're here on a Sunday night to get like sharpened and stuff. So it's a belief we're all here to because we know we have a purpose in life. So we know there's something more to Christianity than just about the things that we don't do. Let's turn to my first scripture. It's Acts 1:8. So it says, or Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So there we see that God's grace on our lives is so that we can be effective ministers, so that we can be a blessing on our in our community, so that His grace can work through us and in us. So it's not that we can go off to like spiritual cuckoo country, but it's actually like for a purpose. It's not so we can do like bark like dogs or any of that stuff, but it's actually for a purpose that we can preach the gospel, we get to live out the gospel. So when we go further on in Acts 3, we see the account of where Peter and John went to the temple, and on the way to the temple, they saw this lame man by the side. So he had all sorts of funny jokes. If you skip down to verse 12, so they laid hands on him and he got healed immediately. So then they get kind of cornered by the Pharisees. So they get asked, how did this happen? So they say in Acts 3 verse 12, it says, "So when Peter saw it, he responded." Oh, let's start from verse 11. "Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?'" So this account really, really encourages me, because Peter says, he talks like, "Do you think it's by our own power or by our own godliness that this guy got healed?" So it's like he's basically saying, like, "Or this, we can learn from this that we shouldn't be looking at our own struggles. We shouldn't be focusing on our like shortcomings, fears, or all that stuff." Because Peter is saying it's got nothing to do with me. It's Christ in me who's doing the work. It's got nothing to do with like me living a holy life. Even though that does matter, it's important personal but that comes out of personal relationship with God. You can't it's as you minister to someone else. That's only Christ in you. That's got nothing to do with your own holiness. So it's really encouraging that it's not about our struggles or any of that stuff, but that's only trying to get our focus away from Jesus up back onto ourselves. So we need to always focus on Jesus, know that He's made us righteous as a gift, and it's not by our own works that He can use us. So even in our weakness, His grace is sufficient that He can use us. So so instead of praying things like saying things like, "God, I'm so insecure, God, I'm so frustrated, God, I'm so helpless," no, that's rubbish. We need to pray, we need to confess everything that's right with us in Christ. Philemon 1:6 says that our faith basically becomes effective once we acknowledge every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. So if we just start declaring, "Thank you, Father, I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm pure," and that then becomes our reality instead of all that negative self-talk. As that's the 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, we don't judge ourselves according to the flesh anymore. So we don't look at the bad stuff in our lives anymore, but we only look at ourselves in our true identity in Christ, and we focus on that. We just keep running our race. So if we trip up, if the flesh gets in the way, we just keep. Get back up, keep on running, keep focusing on your identity in Christ. Because God doesn't want coulda, shoulda, woulda Christians, kind of people that live kind of, "Oh, I could have done this, I should have done this, or if this would have happened, then I could have done that," or all that nonsense, living with regret. Because Etienne shared last week, we can't run our race if we look backwards. We can't be living with regret and be effective in the kingdom. We just need to, Paul said, "One thing I do is to forget the past and just keep on running my race." That's in Philippians 3:13. And I believe that's why David was such a successful man. I mean, that's why his life had such an impact, because he, instead of like focusing on his sin, instead of focusing on his weaknesses, you know, his psalms are filled with, God, you are my strength, you are my confidence, and your mercy endures forever. He keeps on like that. It's like, you know, the psalms I'm preaching to the choir, but it's filled with just focus on God. It's got, sure, he had times off where he thought back probably, but it's the majority of the psalms is I focus on God, I focus on his goodness. I believe, like, he had an awesome revelation of grace, and I think that's how we need to kind of run our race. And how much more now in the New Testament that we get to, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we get to, we have the divine enablement, we are filled, like, it's literally heaven inside of us now. So we have a lot, like, such an advantage compared to David, because in the Old Testament, we know that the Holy Spirit kind of came and went. He came down for a specific assignment and then went back to heaven because there was no one righteous. So in the New Testament, we get such a better idea because the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he will abide with us forever. And so that's kind of on a side note, but that God actually loves to live inside of us. Like, that's mind-boggling. Like, but you don't, like, any of you, you wouldn't move into a house that you don't like, or you wouldn't move somewhere where, like, a house that you're ashamed of or something that you don't really like. So, like, it's amazing that the Holy Spirit came and he says he'll abide with us forever. And he moves in and he'll never leave. Like, he's not ashamed of us. He's for us. And Hebrews 13:5 says, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And then let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of, so it's Paul saying, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So here also Paul is saying, it's God's grace in me that's doing the work. It's nothing, he's not giving us like a 12-step program how to be an effective apostle. He's not giving us any like advice on how to be an effective minister, but he simply says it's God's grace in me. That's the only reason that he gave us. So it's interesting though that he implies kind of that the grace of God can be given in vain. So that's really interesting. So it's how can it be in vain? Well, Ephesians 2:8 says that we can only be saved by grace through faith. So if we don't believe in grace, we can't receive it. So it's only by grace through faith. Excuse me. Okay, so it's like believe and receive, or doubt and go without. Let's go to Colossians 1:28-29. It says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So there again we see, like, it's God's energy in us. So it's always the thing of, if we feel drained, if what we do in our daily lives kind of drains us, then we should probably ask ourselves, well, is it what God has called me to, or am I operating in my own strength, or something's wrong? Because, like, if we operate in God's grace, we should experience like a supernatural energy. So it's here Paul makes the same point again, that it should be God's energy through us, and we should never look at our own like physical ability. But we should always focus on Jesus and say, you're my strength, you're my confidence. And so we're relying on him in us. And then I want to read Ephesians 5:15-18 out of the J.B. Phillips. I think that's really well put. It says, It's Ephesians 5, 15 to 18. So it says in the J.B. Phillips, "Live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time, despite all the difficulties of these days. Don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of God. Don't get your stimulus from wine, for there's always the danger of excessive drinking, but let the Spirit stimulate your souls." So I didn't pick that scripture because I know a lot of students are here, but I think it's really nice, the first part, that we should live life on purpose. And that's something that I really experienced here since, like, during my time here at Grace Life, that it's everything we do is on purpose. It's all to get the gospel out, and that's, I think that's the only thing that has eternal value, is reaching people with the gospel. As we know, like Etienne said earlier, like, nothing, we get to share the gospel. It's not, there's no obligation. We know that nothing can change God's mind about us. Like, He's made up His mind about us. He loves us, but it's, we just get to co-labor with Him, and that's a privilege. That's nothing where we have to pressure ourselves into, but as we get to know Him, as we get to know His heart, then we'll also want to reach the lost and all of that. And it's a lot more exciting than playing, I don't know, Call of Duty or something, but this is the real Call of Duty. We know overall the victory is ours, but can read the end of the book. Like, we win in the end, but it's just now, before Jesus comes back, we just get to kick some devil behind and just bring people into the safety of God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And then 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." So that's just saying the same thing, like what we said earlier. It's even if we make mistakes, it's fine. Just move on and just allow the grace of God to be your strength, and just fully rely on Him. And when I just meditate on that it's God's ability in me, I mean, that just automatically creates an overflow. That allows me to minister to someone because I know the pressure is not on me. So it's all on Him. He just moves through us. As we step out in faith, He meets us there, and He just wants to touch people through us. So then it's like, from that overflow, it's like, I can't wait to put my hands on someone, and just pray for someone. And it's not the fivefold like fist ministry, but actually to lay my hands on someone and pray for them and just minister to them. And so His grace is His divine enabling for us to get stuff done. It's not just like to get us free from sin or anything, but it's actually for a purpose. And so now we've been kind of looking at it from a what grace can do in our lives and through our lives, and now I just want to look a little bit at the spiritual battle perspective, because Etienne shared last week that there is an enemy out there to destroy us, to get us, so that it's also to overcome challenges that he kind of throws at us. So it's, if we turn to Revelation 12, Revelation 12, and can read from verse 7 to 12. It says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. And then let's also read skip down to verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with a woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this just explains the whole spiritual battle that we're in at the moment. Like it says he's especially out to get Christians. So it's like God, for so long it seems like God has been getting all the credit for the bad stuff that's happening in the world. Like people blame him for droughts or that people are sick or any of, again, this clearly shows like it's all the devil causing the problems in the world because he hates us, not just the Christians, everyone. But it's if we look at other scriptures like 1 Peter 5:8, also this be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Actually, I think we have some sort of illustration that I want to show you with that in mind, but. I don't know when for you. let's read another scripture while we wait. I don't even know if I can continue now. But when I saw this the other day, I thought this is such a good illustration. Because it says he walks about like a roaring lion, but it's like a roaring lion, like his teeth have been removed, so it's like he's just like he can't do anything to us. Like he's just a small. Yeah, something. But in James 4:7 it also says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So he's got no power whatsoever, but he's been stripped of everything. In Colossians 2, around verse 10, I think, says that he's been led. Like it's almost like he's been led naked through the streets. Like he's been stripped of everything. He's been ridiculed on the cross, and or by Jesus on the cross. Yeah. So in John 10:10 it says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus wants to give us abundant life. So the only weapon that the devil can use is lies and deception, and that's why we need to preach the gospel to show people the truth. Because John 8:32 says, knowing the truth will set you free. So the opposite is also true, that lies put us in bondage. So we need to get the truth out. And that's why we need to just daily feast on the Word, fill ourselves with the Word, making sure that we're fully convinced of the truth in our hearts. So then the devil has no power over us. He can't. Like if the light's on, there's no room for darkness. If you switch on the light, darkness has to go. There's no chance for darkness. And we don't even have to scream and shout at the devil. Like you can, it's fun sometimes, but your neighbors might think you've gone cuckoo, but it's fun sometimes. We just need to declare the truth. We just declare the truth and that should solve the problem. In Ephesians 4:26, verse 26 and 27, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So I love this scripture because it tells us to get angry. So it's really cool. I think there's some sort of anger we should experience in our lives. I used to be very angry, but that was before I got enlightened. But then I thought anger is all like from the dark side, but now I'm realizing more and more, I'm getting more and more angry again now, but it's at the right stuff. But it's like, we need to have some sort of righteous anger in our lives. Like we should be angry that, you know, that there are people like sleeping rough on the street, or that there's prostitution and that sort of thing. Like we should get angry at certain things because that's the work of the enemy that we shouldn't tolerate, because we're not victims of the enemy. Like we have authority. In Romans 8:37, it says that through Christ in us, we're more than conquerors. But we just have to enforce Christ's victory. Even though we have, it's like a rugby team, you know, you've won the season, but you have one last game to play, so you just get to show off a little bit. You just get to, like, with the points difference and everything, you've already won the overall season, but you just get the last game to really show off, like, just kick the enemy, like, really hard. And 1 John 3:8, it says that for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. And that's why we're still on earth, to exercise our authority, because the world doesn't know, they're blinded. If we could see in the spiritual realm, it would be like probably seeing like people walking with a veil or something in front of their eyes, because they just don't perceive the spiritual things, because they're like, we know, because we know the Bible, and we have the knowledge that they're like, we know from the 1 Corinthians 4:4 somewhere that it's the God of this age has blinded the people, so they don't know they're trapped. So we need to get them set free from deceptions and lies and all of that nonsense. And I think the number one deception that we're dealing with in the world is that people tend to believe that God's angry with them. And that's why I love Grace Life's mission, that we're here to tell people about the unconditional love of God, and that it's that God doesn't hold anything against them. Because that's like the world, like people usually think that God's judging them, God's angry with them. So I believe that's the number one deception that we have to kind of just get rid of in people's hearts. And just realizing that if God would have been against us, he could have just stayed in heaven. He could have just sit back and just watch us destroy ourselves, because I mean we were stuck on stupid. So we would have just run ourselves into the ground. But just the simple fact that God came into the world, like he couldn't sit back any longer and watch the enemy destroy us. Like he just had to come and rescue us from the enemy, to come and redeem us. Like that's proof enough that he loves us so much. Like this shouldn't go by our feelings or by our experiences or any of that stuff. If we look at Acts 26 quickly. 26 verses 17 to 18. So it's where Paul shares his testimony of how Jesus came and met him and spoke with him. So it says, that's where Jesus gave Paul the instructions for his ministry. He says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So that's, like I said, he also said, like, we need to open people's eyes by presenting them with the truth, and hopefully they'll accept it. As it's in that scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:4. I want to read again. It says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest, and it goes on, but it just talks about how they are just blinded, they can't see it. And it's like a few years ago, this movie came out called Left Behind. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it was kind of about the rapture. And I thought it was so ironic that Hollywood even comes out with movies that are about that day. Kind of, I mean, it's going to happen, but it's kind of like people still live their lives and just carry on, and it's just like a nice little story. And so because they're blinded, so they don't see that it's actually coming that day, and not meaning to be over dramatic, but it's like God's destroying them for lack of knowledge, like Hosea 4:6 says. And let's go to Philippians 2 quickly. 9:11 says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So there's no higher authority. So we have the authority in us, but because Christ is in us, so we get to live this adventurous life. So it's much better than what I used to think. You know, it's like what I shared in the beginning, that it's just of like the life of just being a good person, trying my best to live kind of a good moral life. But it's actually much more than that. There's a purpose behind it. And so, like, we get to rob hell for a living. Like, we just, like, I saw this, we like the cops in the spiritual realm. We saw this traffic cop the other day here in Stellenbosch. I don't know, you've probably seen him. Like, he's at one of the junctions by, I don't know which road, somewhere here in Stellenbosch, but he was just standing on the junction and like directing cars and stuff. And I don't know if he had like high blood pressure or something, but he was so vicious. Like this one car didn't follow his instructions, so he went after it. Like he banged on the car and called it back, and like he was nuts. but I thought, like, I had such a revelation at that moment. Like, I thought, wow, that's exactly how we need to be as Christians. We need to be directing, like, if the enemy throws anything at us, like, if it's symptoms, we need to direct it. No, back to hell you go. You go back to where you came from. Like, we need to be like vicious about these things. Like, so long I was like, I had a skin condition, and I was like, so long I was like tolerating it, you know, nurturing it, like taking care of it and stuff, until one day I kind of snapped and I said, "You get out in Jesus' name." And now it's gone. Like, it's amazing. Like, if we start to nurture things in our lives, then the devil is like, oh, fine, he's taking it. But if we actually stand on the word and just take our victory that Jesus has won for us, like, it's like if you have a snake in your house, you don't say, oh, maybe God's blessing me with a new pet. or you don't say, well, it's in the kitchen now, so I'm just not going to use the kitchen for a while. And, you know, you go and kill it. Or if the postman knocks on your door with a parcel, and you ask, well, what's inside it? And he says, well, the receipt, the slip says it's a snake. Yeah, you'd say, I'm not interested. Like, it goes back to the sender. Like, so whenever like symptoms knock, like with sickness or poverty or any, when you think you're starting to experience lack or any of that stuff, you say, no, I'm not having it. Like, you just say, like, devil, you take your filthy hands off like God's property. But we need to, like, really be on our guard, I think, because sometimes stuff sneaks up on us, and we need to know how much authority we have. Now, always imagine that, like, if we just say the name of Jesus, I just imagine like an atomic bomb going off over the devil's kingdom. It's like he's trying to bombard us, but we just drop a nice slow, like, just blow up his kingdom. So it's And as I try to kind of land this thing now, I just want to kind of ask you, like, what are you living for? Kind of, what sort of legacy do you want to leave behind? Like, if people are gonna talk to you about you once, you know, once we're gone. But is it just, oh, he was a good person, or he was a lovely person, or is it like a legacy of, oh, he was living out the gospel, the power of God here on earth? And that's kind of what struck me this week, that it's sometimes easy to lose our focus, our priorities, because we're so busy with a like either 9-to-5 job or like studies or any of that. But I think when we read the book of Revelation, for example, I love reading it. I don't understand much of it, but to me it kind of puts everything in life into perspective, that we put everything in light of eternity, that it's not just living for today, it's not just living for to pay the rent or any of that, but it's actually to still like get people saved and to really populate heaven. And I want to read a scripture from Revelation 18. Verse 14-17. Okay. So Revelation 18:14. Is so it talks about the destruction of Babylon, like in the end times, like how the world system's gonna fail. And so it says, the fruit of that you so longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. And then skipping down to verse 17, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. And when I was reading that, I mean, that might sound a little bit dramatic for a Sunday evening, but I know I won't be taking like a second offering at this point, but you can keep your riches and stuff. But I just thought, like, for me personally, it really put things into perspective, that everything that I used to live for, like a nice car, a nice house, like it's all gonna burn. And like the world lives for a better house, better spouse, better whatever. But it's really like, if we focus on like just what has eternal value, and it's only people. We only get to take people into the next life. And I know that, like, I don't want to kind of hype you up to go out and evangelize, but it's really, this week I really feel like God stirred this in my heart, that we need to put our focus back on getting the gospel out, touching people with the love of God. Because like we saw earlier, we've been fully equipped. The grace of God is on our lives, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's no pressure on us, but we just get to, it's an adventure that we're on with Jesus inside of us, and we get to walk in relationship with him and get to touch people along the way. And that's really awesome. That's so much better than what I used to think Christianity is about.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.